Blog Talk Radio.
Attention, Army Wives! Paul is...
You're tuned to the Internet Talk Radio Show designed specifically for Army Wives. Our life, our family, our soldier.
Brought to you by the Army Wife Network. Interactive empowerment for Army Wives. It's Army Wife Talk Radio. Up-to-the-minute information is right here with special reports, stories, interviews, and more.
Now, reporting for duty, your hosts, Tara Crook and Star Henderson.
Hello, hello out there, fellow Army Wives, and welcome to Army Wife Talk Radio, show 396. I'm your host, Tara Crooks, tonight. And for whatever reason, Blog Talk Radio is not liking me, and the switchboard is not working this evening, so that kind of makes me sad. We're going to try to have Star call back in and see what the issue is. It didn't recognize me when I called in, and then it told me I had an error, which is not cool. It's never done that before. So, okay, Star should be here in a few minutes. It's Monday, December 3rd, 2012. We're really glad that you guys have decided to be with us tonight. It is a very happy and exciting week for me. Yay! Because my husband's coming home. Yay! And so let's see. Oh, my gosh. If you're joining us live tonight, we want you to know you can join us in our live chat room and have fun with the AWN staff. We've got chat room moderator Janet over there and our veteran listeners at blogtalkradio.com/EWTR. Now, if you are going to do that, what you'll need to do is log in. And when you log in, you'll see that the chat's about midway down the page when you start playing the show. So it's pretty easy to get into the chat room. Be sure you do log in, though, because if you don't log in, then you can't chat with us. I'm sorry. I was still trying to see if I could somehow unmute her. It does not like us this evening. Sorry about that, guys. We also are doing our show chatting over at twitter.com/Army Wife Network. And you can follow along over there if you wish. And whew, oh my goodness, let's see if we can maybe get our Star around here somewhere. I'm going to close everything down here, Star, and start over and see if maybe that helps us out. But I don't know. It's just acting up and doesn't like us, which is not good because you can't even talk to our guests tonight if we don't be able to let anybody in on the show, huh? All right, you guys. Well, obviously they're experiencing some difficulties because they think I am not here, and I am. So I tell you what, give me just a second. I'm going to try to hang up and call back in for you guys. So pardon the silence for about 1 minute here. Alrighty, well, hopefully you guys see that I am there. Oh, and here we go, Star. Everything has made its way to the right place now. Okay, are you there? Uh-oh, now she's
not
there.
I am. Give me 2 minutes.
Oh, there you are. Okay. All right, well, hopefully that situates everything. Whew, man, I was like, why? It kept, when I called in, it kept telling me there was an error. There's an error, but the show was like, okay, it's going to start, and it started counting down, and I'm like, well, if there's an error, then what's going on? But it took a long time to get started. So hopefully everything is just a glitch in the system, and everything will be back up so we can broadcast live tonight. Yay! All right, so a huge thanks to Blog Talk Radio and all of our sponsors over at the sponsorship team over at Army Wife Network. Thanks to them for allowing us to bring you Army Wife Talk Radio free tonight of charge, and nobody has to pay anything to listen. Of course, I don't know if they really would or not, but we really love the platform, Blog Talk Radio, 99.9% of the time when it works. When it's operator error, okay, but tonight it really was not operator error, so I'm glad that we're going. And are you back?
I am, yep. I had to run upstairs in case it was my other phone. I thought I'd grab my cell phone and charger. And just.
Oh, not at all. It was not your phone.
Was,
it was completely a switchboard, and I don't know.
Beating.
I had to hang up and call back in for it to work.
Got
it. It wasn't recognizing me for some reason. which is weird because if it didn't recognize me, how did it let me be the I don't know. I'm not even going to ask. Don't even want to try to figure that one out. So anyway, what have you been up to? This is Star. We should say Star. Henderson is here, and I already told him what day it was and everything. So we can just move on from there. What have you been up to?
I'll talk. What have I been up to? So this is okay. We're actually into the personal stuff. Gal, it's Christmas time. Has anyone told you that yet?
I'm done. We talked about that last week, remember?
Yes. So we've been decking the Henderson halls. I know we've decked the halls over at Facebook/Army Wife Network. So we've been, I don't know if anyone read my blog last year. I've decided that I needed to learn what real regrets are. And one of the regrets over the lifespan of parents and even people, I guess this wasn't the people that were dying, a regret of theirs, but a regret of many parents was that they hadn't celebrated Christmas enough or made enough big of a deal for birthdays. And you know me, like, that's not my thing. That's not my thing. But I thought, well, I better get on the stick because I don't want to be regretting that it wasn't my thing when my kids are telling stories to their kids someday. So we went more Christmas light shopping and updated a lot of our stuff that we hadn't really updated for, you know, the span of the war, you know, the last 8 to 10 years. So, we're getting pulled together here with Christmas lights. And plus, we may end up having some guests for Christmas that we weren't expecting. So.
Ooh, that's kind of exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, we've got in-laws that have been delayed, you know, because as in-laws go, you know, injuries and illnesses and stuff don't allow them to keep with their timeline. So they normally come through at Thanksgiving down to their snowbird home in Florida, but they may be coming through at Christmas instead. So, yeah, we've got to be ready to look like we know what we are doing anyway, and that's what we've been doing. But then on top of all of that, we mowed this weekend, so I don't know what's going on with the weather in our minds. We're in, like, Bermuda in one half of our minds and the Arctic in the other.
Well, I guess it's a good thing that you get to have some visitors and then you'll feel like a bunch of families around. But I don't know if you're like me. I like that, and I know that we're the opposite, so you may be like,
I like family. I like family. I do. And it's nice, actually, to have them on your turf. So
I agree with that, and that's what I was going to say. This past week has just been really just a lazy week. I tied up a lot of odds and ends, and I tried to get ahead of myself because, you know, with Kevin returning so soon, I wanted to try to take some time off while he was around, at least for the first couple of days, and, you know, just get settled in and stuff. So I have been working extra hard last week and this week to get stuff done ahead of time so I could kind of chill for a while. And, of course, you know Daddy's coming home soon because we talked about that last week and this week, so all my Christmas presents are done. The only thing I don't have done is my Christmas cards because I want to wait to get a picture while he, you know, with him. I'm going to have to... I have to be quick on that trigger. But
I'll
tell you, does
he have, I'm sorry, I'm interrupting.
No, it's great.
He has the new DigiCamel or the multi-cam uniforms on.
Yeah.
I think they look great with red. And so if you get a picture of him in uniform with all you girls in red, you know.
Well, what's funny is that that is what we're going to be in, is
I
red.
I was just going to say, I'm sure, you know, your welcome home plans include red in there somewhere.
Yeah. Well, you know, because our and I hope I spill the beans, but I know he doesn't listen to the show, or he can't.
Okay, I didn't want to spill the beans. I did not want to be the culprit.
No, but we are going to be in red. So we are doing a sign, and I think I've talked to you guys about this before, and so you might just call me my grandpa, and, like, I retell stories all the time.
I remember telling it on the show, yeah.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, we were making a sign. You know, we of course you've seen the sign that everybody gave me grief for, but then also celebrated. So I guess it depends on who you were. The mama's daddy's home, mama's getting lucky sign that we did the last time you deployed. But this time we went a little bit nicer, so we wouldn't want to offend anyone. And we made it. He and I call each other our lobster. That's our name for each other, which is funny because I hate seafood, but it's from Friends, and it's when Phoebe says, oh, he's our lobster, about Rachel and Ross. And so I was going to wear that shirt that I bought. That was the whole inspiration behind it. Was Star and I were in New York City. I saw the shirt. I'm like, I got to wear that for homecoming, yada, yada. But I do want a picture, and I don't want my picture in a T-shirt and jeans, and I kind of wanted to look a little bit nicer. So I'm going to save the shirt, which is fine. I mean, I'll wear it. It's cute. But and I am going to wear jeans, but just nicer jeans. More, I probably am going to be in what you guys are standard of seeing me when I book, do book signings, because my red sweater, my standby red sweater, and I'm putting the girls in red with jeans, and then we have a sign that we painted that is absolutely adorable, that has lobsters and then this giant lobster, and it says, Daddy Lobster. Yeah, Daddy Lobster, can't wait to get our, and then it's got two giant claws, and it says, on you. So,
yeah.
Anyway, that was really cute, and I think he'll like it. So, yeah, everything will be decked out in red, including my fingernails, which have red sparkles on them now.
I love the red sparkles. The reason why I mentioned that, though, is because I got one of the new multi-cam Christmas stockings from Camel Stock this weekend.
Yeah?
And I really like the red trim on there. It looks great. Much more so than the tan and the grays of the old digital camouflage. So it really, the red really pops against that green, and I felt like it was more Christmassy, kind of more hunter green, forest green. I know those aren't the colors that are in the stocking, but it looks more like that, and it's more Christmassy. It looked really nice.
Very nice, very nice. Well, and I like the red. You know, I just think red, just that nice, bright artillery Christmas red. It just pops so good on those stockings. I just think they're so beautiful.
That's the shade of red they have. Christmas red. I never knew that.
Are you being
funny? You know, the infantry is like Oriental blue or infantry blue and the military.
I don't know. It's artillery red. It is, but Christmas red is artillery red,
right.
I think. It's that really, really, really red. I mean, it's like
right.
Red.
No, it is.
Not
yes,
a little
red.
Tinge of burgundy, a little tinge. No, it's
right.
Red. I mean, like, there's no question that's red. It's not pink. It's not orange. Red.
Right. Not
and so, yeah, I like that color with all their uniforms, so, of course. And I'm also a proud artillery wife, so that kind of helps, right? Everything in our lives is red and yellow. So last week I shipped out all the Christmas presents that needed to be shipped with the exception of Tina and Luke's, which you guys, if you're longtime listeners, know are our best friends. I got them a really cool gift, and I cannot say it on air because they might be listening, so, but I'm really excited about it. And so I got to mail that out this week, but otherwise all the other stuff is out. The other things, though, that I did, I wasn't counting because I was like, oh, yay, all my stuff is out. And I'm like, oh, I got that one card I need to mail to Tina and Luke. That'll probably tell you what it is because it goes in a card. But anyhow, I was really excited about that. And then I thought, I don't have the team's gift out to them yet. So it actually, ladies and gents and all of you who are in the chat room and the core team, your stuff is now laid out on my table in a big round circle, and all your T-shirts came in today, and your gift is in there, and your T-shirt's in there, and it'll be on its way hopefully tomorrow. So if I can get those out, you should have them by the end of the week, which would be really cool because I know you're waiting on them to find out what we got. So excited. And, you know, I also ought to say that we're attempting Christmas decor this weekend. I know that my husband is going to love, love, love me, because he's only going to be home for a very short period of time before I'm saying, hey, honey, guess what today is? We're going to decorate. So I'm sure he'll be thrilled. He knows it's coming.
Status that you were talking about today. You don't really know me if you don't know I'm serious. I think Kevin knows you.
Yeah, he knows I'm not kidding. I was like, you know, I think that he understands that part of the reason why I'm so anxious is because this girl loves Christmas, okay? And this girl puts up her stuff like the day before or a couple days before Thanksgiving. So when I come home from Thanksgiving, when I come back to where we live, I can just turn it on and it's ready, and it's the day after Thanksgiving and it's up. But I didn't, and it is now beginning of December, and days are ticking away, and I want my Christmas stuff up. So I know that he's waiting to do all that. And I was going to tell you one
thing.
Well,
ours is traditionally the second Saturday, just because of David's drill days. His was always drill was first weekend of December.
Yeah.
And he always did everything the second weekend. So we actually have a lot more to do this coming weekend, and we'll put up our tree.
Yeah. Okay. So I also wanted to share that next week, I won't be on the show. I'm taking the week off, you guys. But the following week is our holiday show, and all of our team did a Secret Santa. My Secret Santa doesn't love me because I haven't gotten anything yet. But I know that a couple of you guys have.
Not true.
And I'm so excited. I know it's not. I'm so excited to see what everybody got each other. And hoping that we all get pictures and we figure out who got it for us. I know there's a couple that already know, you little turkey, but it's going to be a lot of fun. Secret Santa's fun. And I'm doing an ornament exchange.
Well, an elf was a very good, a good application to do that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was awesome, wasn't it? Anything that has the word elf in it is good. You know that. All right. So you wanted to... Today, one of our listeners, Jen Carpenter, she's one of our bloggers and our listeners, she was talking about how her husband's never seen Elf, and that she was, like, quoting him, and he kind of looked at her like, what are you talking about? And she's like, it's from Elf. And he said, I've never seen Elf. And she was like, I don't know if her marriage can handle this.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Emily wrote back and said, don't tell Tara that he's never seen Elf.
Exactly. I had to watch Elf so I could stay employed at Army Wife Network.
That's right.
So
part of our
jokes.
part of our new volunteer,
requirements.
No, what's
the job requirements?
When you in process people, what's that word? I can't even think.
In process.
No, not in process. Like your new orientation.
Indoctrinate them.
I'm like, it's right there. The mice are looking for it. What?
Brainwash
word?
Them.
Brainwash before
like
you
that.
Drink the Kool-Aid. It's part of our Kool-Aid. That's right. Okay, so let's talk about what's happening over at AWN this week.
Army Wives, it's not your grandma's army anymore.
The military, in this day and age, plays a whole different tune. Army Wife Network is listening. We are interactive empowerment for Army Wives. A network of Army Wives band together by the power of social media. Army Wives supporting each other by utilizing the array of resources available from military and civilian-led support systems. Here's what's going on at Army Wife Network this week.
At ease and check it out.
So at Army Wife Network, we're talking about armywifenetwork.com. We are always posting new columns over there, and this happens to be the first Monday of the month, so the newsletter is over there under Interact. And the reason being is because you can download it and customize it with any type of calendar details or chain of command details that you want at the Interact tab with the newsletter. And that comes out the first Monday, so that's there for you guys to include a couple new articles. One from Military by Owner. I thought this was a great article. It's got 10 tips for finding the perfect rental home. We absolutely love our rental that we are here in at Fort Leonard Wood. And I will tell you, as I was reading this article, that there were some things that we did that they had suggested. You know, obviously, you know, when you're renting, you're going to have to submit an application. You might have to use, you know, professionals. We use the AHRN website, the Automated Housing Referral Network, as our kind of professional proxy or whatever to find the house. But we also made priorities of where we wanted to live, how far we wanted to be to post. Did we, you know, want to live, you know, in a certain neighborhood and different things like that. So Monica is a great columnist from Military by Owner, and she put those 10 tips together for us. And I think you guys, I know that you can find that under relocation/PCS at Army Wife Network under the columns tab. And another article, we've picked up the bloggers from Army Strong Stories. It's the Army's official blog from the soldier's perspective. And so we wanted to kind of encompass that perspective at Army Wife Network. This is the second month now. And so we had Colonel Fred Johnson rerun his column, or I guess blog, at Army Wife Network under me. If you go to columns, you know, they each have their various headings, me or money or parenting or relocation, like I mentioned. So you can read from a colonel's perspective what deployment is like. His column or blog is called Where Fridays Are Sundays. And basically, you know, it's the good old Groundhog Day over there when they're deployed. But he does talk about the goods and the bad. So I thought that was a good one for you guys to check out. And if you wanted to see more new columns, just make sure you scroll down at the bottom of our front page. In the bottom right, it says Featured Columns, and you can click on that, and you can see all the new ones that have gone up since our last show. That's the highlights over at armywifenetwork.com.
Woot woot! Guess what happened over on AWN Facebook this week? I'll give you one guess, and if you don't get it right, then
you're
fired.
Well, I know. Am I supposed to guess, or are they supposed to guess? I know.
You know,
did I get brownie points? 45,000 plus fans
45,000 plus. As a matter of fact, when my computer starts cooperating with me, I'll tell you, it's like, good Lord, tonight, what is going on? Okay.
I don't know. I think maybe you need a new computer.
Oh, my Lord, it's not even a year old, girl. Okay, 45,024 likes with 45,468 talking about us. I don't even know what to do with myself, you guys. I seriously don't understand. It has not fallen below 20,000 people talking about us in 2 weeks.
I wonder if they've changed their formula again, and I haven't researched it enough, but I know that Facebook was going through some formula processes, whatever you want to call them,
well,
to figure out how they advertise
and vote.
But
I looked at the
things.
Insights. Yeah, I looked at the insights today, and it just, I think it was really, what happens is when you get those posts out there that go as viral as we did, you know, around Thanksgiving, it just gets people talking, and I think that had a lot to do with it. So anyway, I thought one of the fans was particularly helpful today. This is always Stars Lane. She always does this, and I didn't see this go out this year on Facebook yet. One of our fans, Christina, noticed that you have to have your packages out by December 3rd in order to guarantee Christmas delivery, and so she was letting everybody know that over on the page. You
and
always
I needed
tell
to, I want it. Yeah, I do. I normally post it, and I need to double check. I guess it depends on zip codes, and so it's guaranteed. So I'll get the link out. I will tell you, you know, when I was sick in November for those 3 weeks, I really feel like I'm about 3 weeks behind. So don't, if you're counting on me for calendar ideas or calendar.
No, I thought it was really weird because you always, I mean, like every year for as long as I've known you, you have made sure that everyone knew that. So I was like, hey, Christina, you're right. Star didn't tell us that this year.
No, I've been bad. But, yeah.
So this past week we had the Blue Star Family Survey of 2013 and then the graphic Keep Calm, Love Your Soldier, which we always love, and I loved it because, of course, it said Loving Your
and
Soldier.
Side note, that deadline for the survey is tonight.
Ah, okay. So get over there and do that Blue Star Family Survey. But one of the funniest, most popular posts this week was that it was National Listening Day, and it's funny because I even saw a couple of my military spouse friends who run other military spouse businesses pick up on that, and so I thought, oh, well, you must be actually paying attention to our site, because anyway, one of my girlfriends says, also known as shut the bleep up, so I'm like, no, it's National Listening Day, so I said, what is your favorite sound? And I have to tell you that I celebrated this yet again today, because after the weekend, this is why I want my husband to come home. One, because of worry, and two, because I want my best friend here, but mainly because I just want someone else for Chloe to talk to. She is so her mother. I mean, she is me to a T, and she just, she'll tell you stories. She's so funny, but oh my God, she just never shuts up. So I just told her last night, can you just close your eyes and go to bed? So she was still telling stories, and she fell asleep telling stories. And, you know, they're so cute. You want to, like, record them, but then after a while your ears hurt. So today when I dropped everybody off at school, of course they had competing Christmas music going on in the car, you know, all this stuff. So they get out of the car, and I call my mom, so that's noisy because I'm talking to my mom. And I get home, and I walked in, and my dogs were loud, and I put them outside, and then I just stood there in the kitchen, and I was like, my favorite sound is silence.
The sound of silence. Isn't there a song?
I don't know if it is. Yes, there is. But, oh, man, it was awesome. I just sat there and just took it in for a minute because it was crazy. All right, really quick, Loving a Soldier blog. Janet did a part of her USAA series, Cyber Threats and Fraud Systems, an April Shared 2012 Holiday Gift Guide. If you are interested in blogging with us, check us out over at the blog, lovingasoldier.com, and email us at info@armywifenetwork.com.
All right, and that's the same email that if you have a public service announcement you'd like us to feature that you need to use, info@armywifenetwork.com, and we will go ahead and put that in the queue as long as you give us 10 days notice and understand that we can only feature two per show, and that's why we do ask you that you give us some time for us to figure out which show we're going to put you in, but it'll be within, you know, those next 10 days. And today, this is an announcement from MWR, Army MWR. There are 12 vocalists remaining, and they're all competing to become the next Rising Star for Operation Rising Star. We're in Season 8, and that is going to air on the Pentagon Channel the 9th, the 11th, the 13th, the 15th, and the 16th. So basically,
do you know all that does is make me feel old?
Season 8, yes.
Yeah. Like, no. It's like the other day when somebody told me how long American Idol had been around, and I was like, just be quiet.
I don't want to be anyway. And so, yeah, just it's the 9th, 11th, so it's basically the odd days except for the 16th at 8 p.m. on the Pentagon Channel, so December 9th, 11th, 13th, 15th, and 16th. There's only one military wife. In the past, there have been a lot of military wives competing, but there's only one. We've had the top spot, really, for the last four seasons, so it's going to be an interesting year, a lot of active duty Army competing. And voting is going to be open on the special webpage over at armymwr.com. We will have that link under announcements at Army Wife Network, and that will be available for 2 hours after each show is broadcast. Make sure that you get your friends to vote. It's open to the public. It counts for 50% of the winner's score. And so I can't say, you know, like, get out the vote for the military wife, but I may.
They can. Say whatever you want.
I just did. So even if you don't have the Pentagon Channel, you can see the competition streamed live on the web at that link that we'll post under announcements. And I just want to mention, you know, or just say, I guess, best of luck to everybody. That's 12 contestants. They're going from 34 military locations. Anyway, I know that there's 12 vocalists that are competing for this last slot. So
yeah.
I don't know what 34 is.
No, it's 34 military locations, 12 vocalists remain, one will become the next rising star. So they're saying they started with 34, yeah.
Right, okay.
All righty, so the 2013 Military Child of the Year Award is up. Operation Homefront is pleased to present the award to outstanding military children who demonstrate resiliency, leadership, and achievement, which I honestly think all military children demonstrate. Recipients representing each service branch will receive their award in Washington, D.C. In a celebration in April. And the fifth annual award will be presented on April 11th at the Ritz-Carlton, Pentagon City. In addition to a trip to our nation's capital, recipients will be awarded a laptop computer and $5,000. To learn more about Operation Homefront and the Military Child of the Year Award, to nominate your favorite patriot, or to read about previous recipients, go to www.militarychildoftheyear.com. org. Wow, $5,000 on a laptop. I want to be a military kid.
Yeah, I'm a child, right?
I totally have a husband who acts like one. Can that count? all right, you guys. So tonight we have with us Nancy St. Clair. She's from GiveAnHour.org. We're going to talk a lot about giving of our time, which military spouses do so. And then we've got the resource of the week, Animal Behavior College at animalbehaviorcollege.com. The Me Minute. But first, just like we do every Monday night, we got to get all our headlines all in order, you know, so we know what the heck's going on around here. So up next, we've got Nikki News 6 with our headlines. We'll be right back with more Army Wife Talk Radio in just a few minutes.
Attention, Army Wives. Get your hoo-ah on in our Army Wife Network Marketplace. We've got perfect tees in many colors and sizes. Hats, bags, mugs, and more. Grab a little something for your Army brat, or show your AWN spirit by slapping a sticker on the back of your POV. Visit our shop from our homepage at www.armywifenetwork.com, or find us on Cafe Press, www.cafepress.com/armywifenetwork. Hoo-ah!
Are you looking to reach military families worldwide? Do you have a product or service to offer our listeners? Advertise with the Army Wife Network. AWN has many advertising options specifically designed to reach our military families. Visit armywifenetwork.com for details.
Army Wife Network is a community on a mission to empower those who follow. We have been your trusted resource for advice and information on this Army journey. Now, AWN is giving you more with the introduction of AWN Shopping. AWN Shopping is a one-of-a-kind online shopping experience AWN Shopping makes it easy to shop with all your favorite online stores like Kohl's, Old Navy, Target, and more. You can even share great deals or your favorite items with your friends and family. The best part is that you'll just be doing your regular shopping, but you'll be earning money for yourself and for our network through those purchases. Log on to shop.armywifenetwork.com to learn more and start saving while supporting Army Wife Network today.
Every day, the friends, family, supporters, and staff of Army Wife Talk Radio pray for the safe return of all of our troops.
I love you, Daddy. I miss you. Come home soon.
It's time for the AWTR Live News 6 Report.
Our life, our family, our soldier, news you can use.
Now, our very own News 6, Army Wife Nikki.
Good evening. This is Army Wife Star standing in for Nikki News 6 with all the news to cover your 6. Three stories tonight, and let's start off with this first one about the combined federal campaign. This holiday season, you may be pondering giving to a charity, either through the combined federal campaign or elsewhere. Donating to charity in someone's name can be a meaningful way to show your appreciation for that person who has everything. Plus, every dollar counts for cash-strapped charities trying to make a difference when their donations may be down because of the economy. However, just because a charity is included in the CFC doesn't mean it deserves your dollars, however. Do some additional research. Different charity rating organizations such as Charity Navigator, the Better Business Bureau's Wise Giving Alliance, Charity Watch, and GuideStar have different methods for evaluating nonprofit organizations, and not every charity is rated by every group. But by checking out your charity with each of these raters, you'll see a pattern. Add an internet search of the charity's name, you might be surprised what turns up. The military community has a culture of being very giving, making you an attractive target for scam artists, said Brenda Linnington, director of the Better Business Bureau's military line. Scammers play on patriotism, she said, perhaps claiming, for example, that they will send packages to the troops. They also play on the taking care of our own ethos of the military community. When selecting a charitable organization, Linnington suggests going to the charity's website and looking at its boards and leaders. Look at its successes. A few examples of reputable military-related charities providing direct assistance to troops and families are the four military relief societies: Army Emergency Relief, Navy Marine Corps Relief Society, Air Force Aid Society, and Coast Guard Mutual Assistance, to include also Fisher House Foundation, Armed Services YMCA, the Semper Fi Fund, Operation Homefront, Tragedy Assistance Program for Survivors, and USA Cares. From South Korea, North Korea is gearing up to fire a long-range rocket this month in a defiant move expected to raise the stakes of a global standoff over its missile and nuclear programs. The North's announcement on Saturday that it would launch the rocket between December 10th and December 22nd came as President Obama prepares for a second term and as South Korea holds a presidential election December 19th. It would be North Korea's second launch attempt under leader Kim Jong-un, who took power following his father's death early a year ago. Some analysts have expressed skepticism that North Korea has corrected whatever caused the embarrassing misfire of its last rocket 8 months ago. That launch earns the country widespread international condemnation. A spokesman for North Korea's Korean Committee for Space Technology, however, said scientists have analyzed the mistakes made in the failed April launch and improved the precision of its Unha rocket and satellite, according to the official Korean Central News Agency. The statement said the launch was a request of the late leader, and who died on December 17, 2011, and North Koreans are expected to mark that date this year with some fanfare. And lastly, this one's for the kids and the parents who are still kids at heart. Children of all ages will be able to track Santa Claus on his annual journey thanks to the North American Aerospace Defense Command. The NORAD Tracks Santa website at www.noradsanta.org is up and running. The site features a holiday countdown, games and daily activities, video messages from students around the world, and more, officials said, and it is available in English, French, Spanish, German, Italian, Japanese, Portuguese, and Chinese. Official apps are also available in the Windows Store, Apple Store, and Google Play, so parents and children can count down the days until Santa's launch on their smartphones and tablets. Tracking opportunities will also be offered on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google+. Santa followers just need to type @NORADSANTA into each search engine to get started. Starting at midnight Mountain Standard Time on December 24th, website visitors can watch Santa make the preparations for his flight. And that's it for the news this week. And Nikki shall be returning next week. Thanks for listening.
So every single year for as long as we've done Army Wife Talk Radio, I have tracked Santa. And you also don't even call in and have your child talk to someone who will tell them when Santa's going to be there and that they better go to bed.
I know. They have this huge call center.
Yeah, it's huge. Like, did you read how it started? It started because Sears and Roebuck misprinted a phone number that was actually their phone number. And so instead of having kids be disappointed because they were supposed to be calling to talk to Santa, they took the calls, and that's how it started. And then the tradition began because he was, you know, the guy who was in charge had them all tracking via radar. I mean, can you imagine how big it's got? It's just crazy. Can you imagine all that in all those languages? It's just so cool. And I downloaded the app the other day, so we're definitely watching.
Yeah, it went live on the 1st, December 1st.
Yeah, and you can do, like, Google Earth, and, I mean, follow the whole thing. I mean, my kids, you know, are in love with it, so... It's a lot of fun. You guys should go check it out. All right. Well, we'll be right back with more Army Wife Talk Radio and Nancy St. Clair from Given Hour.
You're running a household and supporting a spouse as they serve. And you're used to pulling up stakes every time you PCS. Let's face it. You fight the good fight at home. But you've got your own goals and dreams. You know you want to go back to school, and you know you need a career that'll move when you do. So what's stopping you? Think you can't fit the cost of school into your family budget? Have you heard about tuition benefits like MyCAA? It's a great program that can cover your school costs. You heard right. The DOD provides military spouses like you with the money to go to school for a certificate, diploma, or degree. And Ashworth College has portable online programs that'll help you get ahead and stay ahead, even when you PCS. The best part? There's no out-of-pocket expense to you. The better part? Getting an education and graduating with zero debt. Want to know more about using your school benefits at Ashworth? Call an Ashworth College Military Advisor today, toll-free at 1-877-646-2749. You're listening to Army Wife Talk Radio live here on the Army Wife Network. Our live show is broadcast every Monday night. Join us in our live chat room at blogtalkradio.com/AWTR. Missed a live show or just can't make it? Don't worry. AWTR is available in archived format 24/7 via our website, www.armywifenetwork.com, or on iTunes. It's interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio, here live on Army Wife Network. I am still your host, Tara Crooks.
And I'm your host, Star Henderson. Tonight we have with us Nancy St. Clair, originally Given Hour's outreach director and now a highly skilled chief operating officer. Nancy brings a unique perspective through her background as a cultural anthropologist and licensed professional counselor. She has a bachelor's and master's degree in anthropology with a focus on ethnographic studies. Serving as a civilian cultural advisor, Nancy was embedded with a brigade combat team in Kirkuk, Iraq for 7 months in 2008 to 2009. While conducting socio-cultural fieldwork, she accompanied soldiers on missions outside the wire, including infantry units, military transition teams, police transition teams, and the military police.
Through this experience, she gained a profound respect for service members and the sacrifices that they make, and as a result, she's dedicated her time to giving back to those who serve. Nancy also has a master's in counseling with 12 years' experience as a licensed professional counselor. She's a licensed associate substance abuse counselor and a national certified counselor. Her clinic work included community mental health counseling at the U.S.-Mexico border with a focus on PTSD and crisis counseling. She also has extensive experience as an administrator in the mental health field. This girl... has got it going on. She's a busy, busy chick. I'm telling you, some of those words were just, you know, I'm just impressed. we're glad to welcome Nancy to our show tonight and talk about givenhour.org. Welcome to the show, Nancy.
Thank you. I'm so happy and humble and proud to be here.
Well, we are, I mean, very, very impressive bio, as you see. I already put a note on there to let you know how wonderful I thought all this was. I was like, what the heck, man, this woman, whew, I don't even know if I have enough energy to even read that, much less to do all those things. So I'm so proud. Tell us a little bit about yourself personally and where you're calling from tonight.
Well, I'm calling from Fairfax, Virginia, which is in the D.C. metro area. We actually moved out here, my husband and I, from Fort Leavenworth. He was working as a contractor for the Army, and we relocated. Now he's working as a contractor for the Marines. So he is commuting to Quantico, and I get the pleasure of working from home, which is very, very nice. So in terms of my background, you know, just don't think of all that as being necessarily really fancy. I really think of myself as sort of a combination of Dr. Phil and Margaret Mead, if I may.
Well, we're impressed with them, too, so.
But a little bit, you know, it was really nice how all of this came together when I ended up deploying with the Army. I like to say I'm not in the Army, but I speak Army. It was really a nice niche to be able to combine my backgrounds of working as an anthropologist and also as a licensed therapist, then being able to connect with Gibbenauer and bring all of that together in the work that I do now to support our service members and their loved ones.
All right, so it sounds like you're the lady to ask, being that you were the outreach director and now the operating officer. So let's start right there as far as what exactly is Gibbenauer.
Well, Gibbenauer provides free counseling to service members and their loved ones. It's been around since 2005. It was started by our president and founder, Dr. Barbara Van Dalen. And Dr. Van Dalen is also here in the D.C. metro area. She is a licensed psychologist with over 20 years' experience. And back in 2005, she noticed, as most of us did in the counseling profession, a lot of the things and stories coming back in the media about the large need for behavioral health service, among other things, because of so many years of sustained combat. So she thought, well, I'm willing to donate my time to volunteer and support service members and their loved ones, so certainly my colleagues feel the same way. So it was really under that initiative and that passion to give back that she started Gibbenauer. And it's like the name says, we reach out to licensed counselors or therapists, clinicians, to provide 1 hour a week to service members and their loved ones for free counseling. So now, fast forward to 2012, almost 2013, we have 6,500 clinicians across the nation. That includes Washington, D.C., Puerto Rico, and Guam. So in all the states who provide that service. And I also say that we provide the free counseling to a wide population. The way that Gibbenauer defines service members and their loved ones is very generous. We define a service member as anyone who has served their country post 9/11. That's either active duty, guard, reserve, separated, veteran, as well as regardless of how they were discharged. It can be honorable, less than honorable discharge. And we define the loved one very liberally. If you have had a loved one that's been impacted post 9/11, you're also eligible for free counseling from our providers.
And so when you define loved one, that's more than just like family members. I'm thinking, you know, in the military, it's dependents, those people that are dependent
right.
on you. What about what is loved one in your organization?
There is a focus on that terminology of are you a card-holding dependent.
Mm-hmm.
It transcends that whole terminology. It's literally anyone who loves a service member that's been impacted by these wars. So it could be sister, brother, parents, fiancé, anyone. A lot of people who are affected by someone being in the military don't necessarily have insurance benefits. So this is a nice niche, too, for folks that don't have insurance benefits, aren't dependents, don't have the card to get those sort of benefits, they can utilize our services.
And that's just downright unheard of. I mean, like, Like, unless you've got dependent status,
my husband and I were talking about that the other day. He said, I think people can't believe it because they're waiting for what's the catch. Well, there is no catch. The truth of the matter is there are people out there that, dare I say, love you and care about you because of the sacrifices that you've made for our country.
And there are people that are affected. But I mean, I think this is the first time I've seen, like I said, it's unheard of. Somebody supporting people who, like I said, the example is my mom is not a dependent, but she's absolutely 100% affected by my husband's service. And
exactly.
And she wouldn't be able to take advantage of any of the things that I would be able to take advantage of. But this is, I think that's extremely nice. So I guess that's my way of saying thank you.
And even if she used her insurance, she'd be talking to someone that may not speak Army or speak military.
Right. Well, if they paid for it even, but. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that's the other thing is that when we have someone sign up to be a provider, we ask that they have a background on military culture. And if they don't have that, we provide access to that training.
So where are these providers located? I mean, what if there's not a provider in my area?
Very good question. I asked that when I first started, too, because I said, well, what happens? It sounds like such a great thing, and I know we have a lot of providers, but what do you do if you go onto our website, and I'll explain how that works next, how you actually access these providers and don't find someone. Well, the nice news is you send us an email that's also on our website to info@giveanhour.org, and that goes to an admin assistant. We're actually quite a small office, and you'll get a response very quickly. And they will get the word out to providers that are in the vicinity and say, look, we're looking for a provider who can provide this service. There's a gap. We can't find someone. Put the word out to your friends and associates and see who can help. Well, when I first heard this, it was told to me as if, oh, no problem, this happens, it works out all the time. And I thought, this is almost too good to be true. Does this really work? And the second week of my job, this happened. We actually had someone that was sort of in the middle of nowhere, Arizona. I lived in Arizona, so I knew this is basically like the surface of the moon. So I said, oh my gosh, of course, we can't find a provider for this guy. What are we going to do? He's in the middle of nowhere. And Jess, our admin assistant, sent out an email to providers in the vicinity and said, look, we have a service member, OIF veteran in need. What can we do? Get the word out. And within an hour, we had four providers that emailed in and said, I would be happy to see him. So, yes, which I'm very proud of my profession of therapists that they're willing to do that. And like I said, there are people that care about you.
Yeah, but you don't even know.
That you don't even know because of the sacrifices that you make.
Completely not a question, that we were planning to ask tonight, but I was curious, and you may not know this answer, but how many, like, for instance, Star, this is her field of expertise.
Interest,
there we go. And this is what she wants to do. And so I was curious how many, because I do know a lot of other military spouses or military family members that are counselors, and so I wonder, do you have a lot of that happen where they served before, or?
Yes, we have a little bit of that. We did a survey recently of our providers, and we asked that question, how many of you have served yourself or are military affiliated, meaning a family member? And it was somewhere between 8 and 10% that actually had served themselves, and it was 40% that were military affiliated in terms of having a family member that was in the military.
So
why they're attracted to that.
It makes it even more special, I think.
I think so, too.
And effective, too. I think you were saying, like Nancy, you said, you've been around the military long enough now. There are special considerations and vernacular that you have to learn, and so it's good that they've been around that life already.
Yeah, to even be able to understand what half these guys are talking about, that's true. But I also
think
because that's more of I say military families are such giving people, especially to their own, group, and that makes me proud of them. Good. So I was just curious about that.
Yeah, I agree.
How many providers are in the network? You mentioned that you could find one anywhere you went. How many are we looking at? that are already signed up to do this?
6,500 currently. It goes up all the time. And let me tell you, probably listening and thinking, oh my gosh, how do I access this and find out if there's someone in my area? Actually, we make it very simple, which I think why this has been very popular, that it's grown, because we make it very simple for providers both to sign up and for individuals to access the service. You go to our website, www.giveanhour.org. That's giveanhour.org. Someone could type that. That would be great for anybody who's blogging and listening. You click on the provider key towards the right, and you put in your zip code, and within a certain mile radius, you can select that as well. You can also select certain specialties, such as if you're looking for someone to provide couples therapy, someone who specializes in anger management, kids counseling, things of that nature. You can do that search, and then it will pop up, based on your search recommendations, who is available. Oh, and thank you, Paula, for posting that on the blog site.
Oh, you are a multitasker. Look at her. She's even watching the chat. Woo-hoo.
Oh, yes. So once you do that, again, if that will come up with a list of the providers, their name, their address, their phone number, their specialty. Sometimes if they have their own website, that will come up as well. I was helping a service member the other day locate someone in his area, and I was sort of walking him through the process and describing who was available to him, and he could look up the website, look up this, see this person's picture, read about her personally, so he had a better sense of who she was before he called her, which made him feel more comfortable. It's that easy. So it's really up to you, once you see who's the provider in your area, to then reach out to that person, call them, and set up the appointment. It's been a nice match, too, for people who don't have accessibility. They may not be close to a base. They may be guard or reserve, or like you said, if it's somebody who's a family member, like a mother, who's not necessarily in the area of a base or doesn't have resources to the VA and such, or TRICARE, that they may have a provider in a small town. So it helps to fill that niche, too. Well, some people just aren't comfortable going through military providers. They want something outside of the system. It's anonymous in that way. There's no insurance. There's no records. If you want to sign a release of information, let's say you're working and seeing a psychiatrist at the VA, but you want to see a provider outside the system, you can send a release. People can share information. But that's within your control as a person receiving services and between you and your therapist.
You were talking about finding providers in your area, and I'm curious to know if you have a percentage of providers that do telehealth or do things through the phone or, you know, a computer.
Yes, I'm glad you mentioned that. We do. When you do the search, it will also say yes or no if that person is open to doing telephonic counseling.
Mm-hmm.
And telehealth can be telephone. Sometimes it's also video teleconference or Skype counseling. Some counselors also have that capability as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, that definitely is another service that we provide.
But that is a factor or criteria. That's awesome.
You can, yeah. And some people, you know, there's some caretakers that can't leave the home very easily, or some service members that are disabled. Not quite so easy just to bop out and receive counseling services, and as long as it's clinically appropriate, they can do that over the phone, and that can help as well.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, and also, you know, the other asset to the telephonic counseling is if we cannot locate somebody in the area, as long as a provider is in the same state as a person receiving services, is within the guidelines to receive counseling in that fashion. So sometimes that's how we match people as well.
And so how many people have you reached through this program?
To date, and this is a very conservative number, 70,000 people. We do a quarterly survey. We ask our providers to report in how many hours of counseling they've provided. And about 10% of our responders provide, so 70,000 is a pretty conservative estimate. We think it's much larger than that, but that's what we can document for sure. And the average counselor charges about $100 an hour for counseling services. If you translate that into dollars, That is $7 million worth of free counseling service to service members and their loved ones, which is pretty amazing.
Now, you kind of told us how we could get help by calling in and finding a provider in our area, et cetera, but what are some of the symptoms that we might start to look for if we think that we might need help, or we think we don't need help, but we need to know that these are serious, you know, these are serious symptoms, and guess what,
right.
You do. What do we need to look out for?
All right, how do you know that you need counseling? That's a very good question. I think one of the things that receives a lot of attention in the media are the extreme, the more extreme cases. There's a lot of attention within OIF and OEF veterans, issues of post-traumatic stress disorder, PTS, or sometimes referred to in the military as PTSD by the military,
right.
More so as PTS, or TBI, traumatic brain injuries. That's certainly an issue that if someone is having symptoms of that to receive therapy, and I can go a little bit more.
Well, and if it's serious, it's way more obvious.
Yes, but you know, more often than not, it's relationship problems.
Yeah, or it doesn't have to be. You know,
yeah.
The other day they were doing a thing about it was one of our reintegration type classes up here
mm-hmm.
we were taking, and they were talking about PTSD and stress and everything, and the lady put the, you know, I'm known for my goofiness, but anyway, the lady puts this thing up. She's like, you know, reading off all this stuff, and she said, "So does any of this look familiar to you?" And I was like, "Yeah, that's like every day in my life." she said, "Yes, it probably is." So
mm-hmm.
I think that people, you know, I believe, and I know Star knows that I believe this, that everyone could use a little counseling, just about everybody.
Yeah.
You know, but I think that you're right. We see the more serious things. We don't see the, this might help you. You had somebody to talk to.
Right. Basic communication issues. I mean, when we're talking about such a high op tempo the past 10 or 11 years with so many deployments, most people have deployed again and again. Of course that's going to affect relationships. How could that not affect your relationships with your significant others, with your kids? To me, there's just a natural reintegration process when somebody is redeploying, of sort of getting back into your new normal, making that adjustment. Some of that can be smoothed over, but I'm telling you, if there's a case of this happening again and again, is it surprising that we have relationship issues? I mean, that's a pretty common thing, even regardless of having
mm-hmm.
someone deployed to a war zone. So I think that comes up more often than not that I'm hearing about. For people that they're seeking services because of various types of relationship issues or communication issues. Certainly the more serious signs to look for, maybe I shouldn't say serious, but the more acute signs to look for in terms of seeking counseling are you a loved one having a problem with your sleep? And these are things that are so severe that they are affecting your ability to function in everyday life. Are you having an extreme change in your appetite? Are you more irritable? Are you arguing, especially to the point of anger issues that are causing problems? A very common issue within the military is substance abuse issues, and oftentimes that comes along with depression and anxiety. This will just, so I get my my props for using a great counseling term, is called a comorbid disorder.
Mm-hmm.
That simply means, you know, someone who has an issue with depression, anxiety on top of substance abuse issues. Not uncommon. If you're someone who is having problems sleeping or having recurring thoughts and anxiety, it's not unusual for someone to substitute and cope by using drugs or alcohol. And sometimes that just spirals down to creating a major problem. So that comes
right.
up often as well. The issues with post-traumatic stress disorder, I think a lot of people have heard about this, but certainly with post-traumatic stress disorder, for the service member, but also can end up occurring to the loved one as secondary traumatization, occurs in terms of having, you know, nightmares, night sweats, repetitive thoughts about a traumatic event, avoidance of crowds, those sorts of things. And of course, hopefully this goes without saying, if someone is having an issue in terms of having suicidal thoughts of harming themselves or someone else, that's something that needs just immediate help and outreach in terms of that.
What about if you see those symptoms, not in yourself, but in a loved one? You're the wife and you see it in the husband, or if you're the husband, you see it in your wife.
Yes, it's sometimes it's tricky because obviously there's a lot of stigma about receiving mental health services. This is not limited to the military. We don't do well as a society in terms of saying, hey, let's go to a counselor and seek some help. That's just not something a lot of people just naturally feel comfortable doing. So if you're seeing these things and perhaps you're listening to this thinking, yeah, I've been trying to get my loved one to get into counseling for some time, but he or she doesn't want to do that. They're concerned about the stigma for, you know, some very realistic reasons. Oftentimes I'll say this, as I have done with people that are civilians when I was doing direct service. Speak to that person with compassion, with loving concern that, hey, I've noticed these things. I'm concerned about you. There's people out there that can help with this. Have you considered seeking help through counseling? Things like that. Approaching it in that way, not in a nagging, angry way, but more of a loving approach. I think anybody, if you approach them in a positive, more loving way, they're just going to respond, you know, better anyway, regardless of
the issue. Right, like you're taking care of them.
Right, you're just concerned, you're taking care of them, you're concerned, here's a resource for you, have you considered this? You can let them know about Give an Hour, or they can go to whoever they want to. Give an Hour is just another tool in your toolkit. The other thing is, if you've been doing this for some time, you've been trying to get your loved one into services, he or she is just really adamant they're not going to do that, don't give up on them, of course, but I tell people, seek services for yourself, because if someone else in your life is having a response that's acute and severe and you're really worried about them, it's affecting you and your life as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you can at least focus on yourself, because you can't really control someone else's behavior, can you? So one thing that you can do is get support for yourself, run it by somebody else, and make sure that you're being as healthy as you can be.
Get coaching and rehearsal from them.
Absolutely. And sometimes then if that person sees, hey, my spouse is getting counseling, it's helping he or she, and maybe this is not so bad, and you're coming back and talking about, hey, here's what I learned, they can learn that, you know, this is not such a bad, scary thing, and maybe this is something that I can do.
So, Nancy, we only have a couple of minutes left, and I want to talk about that community blueprint. But first I want to ask this really quick question. Is there a limit to the number of times that we can be seen?
No, there's absolutely no limit. Unlike insurance benefits, sometimes that is capped after so many sessions, so it's between you and your counselor, but Give an Hour itself does not put a limit on the number of sessions you receive.
All right, so tell us in this last couple minutes about the community blueprint.
Okay, this is tricky to wrap up in a couple minutes, but
you
I'll
can
do my
it.
Best.
We're not going to cut you off, but anyway.
Okay. Well, the Community Blueprint, first of all, it's a national initiative. There are community blueprint communities all across the United States. There's about 16 official community blueprint cities right now. And if you go onto their website, and this is, I hope somebody's typing this, www.communityblueprint.org, you can look up the site. And the umbrella organization for the Community Blueprint is the Points of Light Institute. Now, Give an Hour received funding about 2 years ago from Bristol-Myers Squibb to say, hey, this sounds like a great idea. Let's try it out in two demonstration sites and two communities and see how this works. Now, the whole philosophy behind the Community Blueprint, it really came out of the time period of Admiral Mullen, who was the Joint Chiefs of Staff at the time, who wrote this really great white paper talking about the Sea of Goodwill. That at this point, there's a lot of services out there. There's a lot of people and organizations, nonprofit, for-profit, governmental, that are offering services to military members and their loved ones. But they're not necessarily all talking to each other. And the way that people, in the end, when they're redeploying, they're going back to their communities. This is a community issue. And I think that's true. I think people really, in the end, the help and responses are in their community. So if a community wants to do this, if they want to collaborate and start to work together around the issues of assisting service members, they sign up to become a blueprint committee, and there is a template on how to do this. If you want to be a blueprint committee, it talks about how you as your community can join together across all services, for-profit, non-profit, governmental, meaning military as well, military spouses certainly, can start to meet. And the second part of it is not to just meet for meeting's sake, but to have action items. And that's part of the toolkit that's listed on the website too. So let's say you define a gap in services. There's a need in a particular community, such as mental health counseling, that counselors, civilian counselors, need more training on how to work with military families. That then, as a group, you're able to provide training or whatever it is to help fill that gap in need. So it's twofold. It's philosophy of everybody collaborating and working together, everybody being on one page, but also having these action items to roll out, meet, and fill these gaps and needs. So our two demonstration sites for Given Hour, where we've been testing this out now for 2 years, is in Fayetteville, North Carolina, home to Fort Bragg, HUA, right, the biggest military base by population in the world now after the BRAC. Very military-rich community, very supportive, so it's been a great community to work in, too, and to help roll out the blueprint and see how that's doing. The other community is Norfolk, Virginia, or the Hampton Roads region, which is another community. It goes as far north as Fort Eustis, but also has the largest naval base in the world there in Norfolk itself. It also includes all services. There's an Air Force base there as well, and Marines.
Yes.
So if there's anybody
thought that was
to,
mm-hmm. Pardon?
If there's anybody listening to that's in Fayetteville or Norfolk, would love to hear from you if you want to become involved in the Blueprint. We have some great active groups there that have been doing some really cool projects over the past year, and a lot of military spouses, in fact, that are involved in both of those initiatives.
Too cool. All right, Nancy, I think you did a perfect job of wrapping that up very quickly. So,
where
can we go if we want to find more information?
Well, certainly, I'd like to refer everybody back to our website, www.givenhour.org, if you want to find out more about getting involved in these receiving free counseling services. If you also know of any providers that are licensed clinicians that would like to donate their time, if you're a licensed clinician and would like to do that, we're always looking for volunteers. And if you're not a licensed clinician but you think this sounds like the coolest thing ever, we have plenty of opportunities for people who are non-licensed clinicians to get involved and volunteer as well. And earlier I mentioned the website for the Community Blueprint. The national website is www.the-communityblueprint.org to find out more information about that initiative. So
perfect. And we have all of those in the chat room. They've been
great.
Janet and Paula
wonderful.
Have been rocking that tonight. So thank you so much for taking some time to be with us tonight. We appreciate all of your information and good stuff, really good stuff. It was great to
hear. Well, thank you. I wanted to say that you are my heroes, because you, as military spouses, you are the ones that are sacrificing and have been going through this for the past 10 or 11 years. I fully support you. Given Hour supports you, and like I said earlier, we have providers and clinicians across the United States that support you for your sacrifices and just for who you are and what you've been doing. So don't be afraid to access that if that's been speaking to you, or if that's been sort of a persistent whisper for you to seek counseling or to encourage your loved one to do so. This is the time to act and do that. Don't be afraid. Look at our site and just see what's out there. It's there for you.
Thank you, Nancy. You can't make me cry, so I refuse.
Thank you.
But I love it. And even if it takes you saying, Tara said, everybody could use a little counseling.
I know. I was going to type that in the chat room.
That's what Tara says. That's what I
it
say.
Doesn't
Everybody's
hurt.
He's got a little bit of crazy in him. Need to work it out with somebody, right? Okay, so, guys, that does it for our main guest. Make sure you go over there to giveanhour.org and check everything out. And like Nancy said, I mean, if it's been a persistent thing, or even if you just feel like you need to talk to somebody, you know, it's a good thing to get it all out there. So go check it out. Nancy, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
And we will talk to you soon. All right,
okay.
Paula's up next with our resource of the week, guys, so stay tuned. We'll be right back with more.
This is Army Wife Talk Radio Live. Give us a call to share your story. Now, it's time for the AWTR resource of the week.
Hi, welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio, and it's time for our resource of the week. I'm your host, Paula Swanson. Every week, we feature informative resources for you, our military families, and this week, we have with us Stephen Applebaum, president and founder of Animal Behavior College. Are you there, Steve?
I am.
Thanks for being with us tonight.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I was listening to your show, and it's really nice to hear all the support that's out there from military families.
Absolutely, and you're part of that. So tell us a little bit about yourself and where you're calling from tonight.
Well, I'm calling from Pasadena, which is north of Los Angeles, California. And I have a vocational college that offers animal-related careers to animal lovers that want to get actually make a difference and make a viable living doing it. And, we've been working with military families since 2009, and it's been a very rewarding and interesting experience, which kind of near and dear to my heart anyway. I'm an Air Force vet. Although I've spent many years since I've been in service, but still, you know, it was really nice to be able to, I know it's cliche and kind of, you know, everybody says it, but the ability to give back is a wonderful thing this time of year and all times of year. So,
right. Well, this is something that you have a passion for, so you are living your passion.
That's true. That's true.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
No. Especially if living your passion involves helping people and animals. I mean, you know, there are people out there that live their passions, but their passions aren't the greatest things. You know, this is a nice thing, and it's like I said, it's been very, very rewarding to be involved in this, and it's a great program. Great program, not just for military people, but really for anybody that has a passion for animals. But I mm-hmm. think the nature of the course makes it very, I won't say uniquely suited, but very well suited for military families.
Well, you're definitely talking to a bunch of animal lovers here, so we are absolutely our dogs and cats and everything else. So, but tell us, give us the type of courses that you offer at Animal Behavior College.
We offer three main programs. We offer a program for people that want to be professional dog trainers. We offer a program for people that want to get into the veterinary field. They can become veterinary assistants. And we offer a program for those that want to be professional groomers. Each program is a distance learning course coupled with what we call an externship, meaning that aside from learning some of the material at home, you're going to mentor with a working professional so that you can get the hands-on experience you need to make sure that when you graduate, you've got a realistic chance of being able to get a job and and work in your profession. So in the case of the dog trainer program, we would set you up with a local trainer, a working trainer, so that you could go and observe and take part in real world dog training classes. If you were in the veterinary program, we'd set you up in a veterinary hospital and you'd work with them. And there's an excellent probability that you would get hired by that hospital after graduation. It's not a guarantee, because you have to build a relationship with the hospital. But certainly it gives the student a ground floor opportunity to be able to interact with the hospital, to see firsthand how they work, and to really get your feet wet. And the same thing goes with the grooming program. There we would set you up with a professional grooming salon, and you would get the same kinds of hands-on experience.
Mm-hmm.
Each course takes about 12 to 14 months to complete. I say about, but because there is a self-study component to this. So it's not, you know, it's not so rigid that it's only going to take, you know, 330 days or whatever, but typically about 12 to 14 months.
Right, and these are all courses and professions that, you know, as we hear in military circles, you know, portable careers that
yes.
you can kind of do anywhere. So are these programs and courses, are they approved for the MyCAA program?
They
that
are.
Is offered to many military spouse students?
Yes. Yes, we've been approved since 2009, and in fact, we've had just a little over 2,800 military spouses take our program since then. So yes, we were very, very happy to be approved, and not only are the courses portable, but the type of education that we offer really works well for families that are dealing with, you know, with a PCS. You know, we literally have had students that started the program on one in one part of the country, had a change of station, wound up in a completely different part of the country, and were able to pick up the program with a new mentor, because we have them all over the country, and complete their course. And then, of course, when you're looking at the pet business, and this is what a lot of people don't realize. You know, you have a lot of people out there that are animal lovers, but you know, it's one thing to be, you know, be a dog lover, be a cat lover. It's another thing to look at this as a viable way to make a living. But when you realize that there are 70 million dogs and just a little under 90 million cats in the United States alone, and that the pet business as a whole generates roughly $50 billion a year, there are over 20,000 veterinary hospitals all across the United States. There are about the same number of grooming salons, which essentially means that there are employment opportunities in most parts of the country. And what's more, even through this difficult recession, the business as a whole has continued to grow. And it's grown by billions of dollars since 2008, since you know we first started dealing with economic downturn.
Right. So that's how come your curriculum model works so well for military spouse students. With PCSs and with deployments and that sort of thing, that if they get reassigned someplace and they move, they can pick up their training and education even when they move.
That's right. That's right. And once they graduate, they have the kind of a career that makes them employable pretty much anywhere in the country. I mean, anywhere in the country, if you're a veterinary assistant, anywhere in the country there's a veterinary hospital, there's an excellent likelihood that they're going to need somebody. Same thing with grooming salons. And the same thing with dog training. Dog training is a little bit different only because the typical dog trainer goes into business for themselves. And so you're going to, wherever you are, you're going to have to, you know, essentially start your own business as a dog trainer. We've had many students that take multiple programs. You know, they'll get involved in the veterinary assistance program, and then once they're hired on at a hospital, they then have the ability to promote their dog training services as well, obviously with the permission of the hospital. But,
sure.
Students that have done very, very well with that. And it's something that they can utilize for years and hopefully decades afterwards.
Right. Well, what kind of courses does Animal Behavior College offer the students after they've graduated?
We have a number of continuing education programs. We launched one in October 2011, which was near and dear to my heart, which was cat training. You know, which caused a lot of people to kind of look at me funny. You know, really, can you train cats? The answer is yes, you can, and there is a tremendous market for that. We offer a shelter dog program for those dog trainers that want to reach out to animal shelters and assist with what they're doing, as well as generate some business with them. One on private lessons, which is another type of dog training. Dog trainers can teach group classes. They can teach private lessons. They can teach kennel training. So it's just another way for them to be successful. We've got a pet sitting and dog walking module for people that want to set up that kind of a business. We've got a nutrition program. That is actually our most popular program right now, the pet sitting and dog walking course.
Okay, but let's back up now. Let's back up for just a second, because you said something that has really caught my attention, and I know a couple of other people, but cat training?
Here's the thing with cat training. As I had shared earlier, there are about 90 million cats in the country. So there are more cats in the country than there are dogs. Now, when people hear training, most people associate a kind of a combination of a lot of different things with that word. They picture maybe dealing with some behavioral challenges, chewing or digging or scratching furniture, whatever it is, coupled with an understanding of some basic commands or cues to walk on a leash, to sit, to come, to stay, to lay down. And it's there that people kind of get lost, because the question then becomes, okay, well, are you talking about teaching a cat to walk on a leash? And even if you can teach a cat to walk on a leash, what's the point? And my response to that is, you know, there are some people for various reasons that may want to be able to take their cats for a walk, but that's not the point of the program. We're not talking so much about teaching these little critters to listen to cues as much as we are dealing with the typical behavioral challenges that, if untreated, wind millions of them every year in animal shelters. And we're talking about litter box training, spraying, scratching furniture, general sociability, the ability to accept other cats, you know, into the household. Yeah, the typical things that cat owners will nod knowingly about. And when you say to people that are either skeptical or just downright curious about whether cats can be trained, when you start to explain to them, okay, do you think you can litter box train your cat? Well, yeah, I mean, I've done that before. Do you think you can teach your cat not to scratch on front? Well, yeah, I guess under the right circumstance. That's all training. So
that is
all we're
training.
Really talking about is just educating owners about the best ways to deal with behavioral challenges. But there's a huge gap in the number of trainers. When we started this program, we were looking for cat trainers to help us create it. I mean, my background was more in dog training than cat training, and so I wanted to talk to the experts. And we looked all over the country. We couldn't find more than maybe a dozen trainers out there. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't more than a dozen. Well, we have pretty good resources, and what it did suggest to me is that there are not even remotely close to the same number of people that are qualified to train cats as they are to train dogs. Since we launched the program in October of 2011, we've had just over 1,000 students. Now, those are not all military students, although I would guess at least a couple of hundred have been military spouses that have taken this program. And we're really hoping over time to really get the public to have a better understanding about the fact that, yes, the kitties can be trained. And it's going to be a great benefit for everybody, including the millions that wind up in shelters every year, which was really my underlying motivation for creating this program. You know, there's kind of a deafening silence in the shelters with regards to training. I mean, you know, for many years, when you would talk to shelter people, the mantra that you would hear from animal shelters is spay, neuter, spay, neuter, spay, neuter. And that's a very valid message. But over the last 10 or 15 years, the message has changed somewhat, and so that now you'll hear spay-neuter-train, which is great on the dog side. But on the cat side, it's kind of spay-neuter, and then there's an apologetic shrug because you really can't train cats, or so the perception is, but you can. And that's what that program is about.
It's kind of like spay, neuter, and leave alone.
spay, neuter, and hope for the best. That's right. You know, which really begs the question. I mean, spaying and neutering is great from the standpoint of getting the population down, although, you know, one could argue that with 90 million cats, the population is pretty high anyway. But that doesn't really help the poor animal that's already in the shelter.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's I'm not by no means am I against spaying and neutering. I think it's a very important piece of the puzzle. But training is also critical. So it's a good program for that. It's also a really good program from a business standpoint, because when new trainers, you know, they're just getting started and they're trying to build their businesses. You know, let's face it, I mean, most people, when they're starting small businesses, and certainly as an animal trainer, you're starting a small business, they don't have thousands of dollars to put into advertising. So they're starting it really on a shoestring through networking. You know, you go to a veterinary hospital, you talk to your friends, and you kind of get the word out there that, you know, this is something that you can do, and, you know, you'd love the business, and over time, you will get referrals, and if you do a good job, you're going to get more referrals, and that's how service businesses are built.
Exactly, and it's just word of mouth.
It is. But here's the thing. You know, if you're one of five other people that are plying this trade, what makes you stand out? you know, now it could be your bubbly and effervescent personality, but I mean, let's face it, it still makes it harder. But if you have something else that's marketable, say not only are you a dog trainer, but you also can train cats, that's a lot more unique. And that
right,
will get you attention.
Is.
So that's the other, you know, perspective. That's another advantage to that kind of a program.
Well, I think that's really cool.
It's really been fun, and then the creation of the program itself is just a hoot. It's really interesting. And
it sounds very interesting.
And it's kind of weird, you know. I had perceptions too, like we all do. I just assumed that. I mean, I knew the cats were trainable, but I figured dogs were probably smarter though. But in actuality, maybe not so much.
Right.
Cats can be highly intelligent. They're just motivated differently.
Absolutely. Well, Stephen, tell us where we can go to get more information about your school and the certified programs that you offer. It's a great resource, and we'd really like to learn more. So if you'll tell us where we can go to get more information.
I can certainly do that. Anybody can call us, and that's toll-free at 888-600-7220. Again, 888-600-7220, or you can just check our website out at animalbehaviorcollege.com, exactly like it sounds, just animalbehaviorcollege.com, or even just, you know, Google Animal Behavior College, and, you know, we will certainly come up. And,
awesome.
You know, we have a number of people working there that are military veterans. Yeah, and just kind of as an FYI, I mean, I know there's been, you know, various publicity about schools and working with military spouses. Prices are exactly the same. It's exactly the same program as exists for, you know, civilian counterparts. So there's really
right.
no modification necessary. But I know that
right.
there have, you know, been schools out there that have, you know, been engaging in less than stellar practices with military families.
Right, right.
And,
well, Stephen, thank you so very, very much for being with us tonight and sharing with us. I'm sure that we've all learned quite a bit.
It's a pleasure. I really enjoy this, and if you have any other questions, you know, by all means, just give us a shout, and I'll be happy to come on and, you know, answer any and all that I can.
All right. Thank you so much. Have a good evening.
You're very welcome. You do the same.
Thank you. AWTR listeners, stay tuned for our AWTR Minute and more information about what's coming up next week on our show.
Looking for more resources? Visit us on the web at armywifenetwork.com. Browse our resource database. Submit your field problem question. Request field problems to be published in your area. Find tons of Army family empowerment, a directory of Army posts worldwide, message boards, live chat, and much, much more. Go to armywifenetwork.com. That's armywifenetwork.com.
This is Maria Murphy with Simply Put Together in the Me Minute. Today we're going to be talking about your garden. If our lives are a garden of beautiful things that we plant and nurture in order to grow, then we have to remember to weed the garden to keep it beautiful. You know how it goes with weeding, too. Weeding regularly keeps your garden gorgeous, and it's less work than weeding and having to tackle a mess. Just like real weeds, the junk in our lives can really take root if we don't stay on top of it. So for this month, consider taking one area of your life and setting yourself up to weed it on a regular basis. This could be anything from your relationships to clutter at home to the office. Here's some ways you can weed your life. Toss out one thing a day from your home. Cancel one outgoing commitment that you could do without. Clean out your purse, briefcase, or wallet each week. This is Maria Murphy with Simply Put Together. Learn more at www.simplyputtogether.com.
Want more? ArmyWifeNetwork.com offers discussion boards, military family resources, Loving a Soldier blog, and much, much more. Tell your friends about AWN with our interactive tools. Visit us online at ArmyWifeNetwork.com. ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Interactive empowerment for Army wives.
Okay, guys. Thanks for being with us tonight to kick off December. Next week will be December 10th, and I'm taking the night off. So you guys have a good time. You're going to be featuring Sheila Ray Gregory. Is that how you say that? Gregory. That's beautiful.
That's not how I'll be saying it. We're going to think of another way to say it next week. I'm sure that's how you say it. It just sounds difficult for me. I can't roll my R's.
Gregor. I don't know. Anyway, but guess what? I can't believe I'm leaving you on this night, really, but you'll have Paula, and, you know, Paula and, you know, well, anyway. I'm sure you're going to have all kinds
Paula
of fun.
Paula and you will have a great time featuring the Good Girl's Guide to Great Sex. That's what
that's
you
right.
want to say. All right.
Yeah, that's
well,
what
we're
I
not
want to
good
say.
Girls,
I want to say
so
Paula
know how that'll
can
work.
Have a really good time embarrassing Star with the Good Girl's Guide to Great Sex. Actually, I think what you're going to love about this is it really is. You know, the other ones that we've had on are probably more, you know, towards I'm actually really looking forward to this interview because it's about people who are like you and I where we kind of blush a little, you know. what we ought to do is we ought to have Kawanda and Paula do this show.
There you go.
That's a good idea. Maybe you should run the switchboard and make them do it. There you go. Our resource of the week is Wendy Poling, another person I really wanted to talk to. But I am
our
gonna
Narmi wife.
Love you guys. So she's our Narmi wife, and she's going to be here to share with us her experience at the Inc. Mentor Fair. It was a 500, 5,000 conference? What's that mean?
Well, the top 500 businesses, the small businesses, yeah, from Inc. Magazine.
Gotcha.
They were all there,
like,
and they were mentoring military spouses.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So she's going to share her experience from that. And, you know, of course, she's one of my good friends. So you guys are going to have a lot of fun without me. I will listen, but not on Monday night. And
welcome home.
Do me good.
Major Crooks and Company. Prematurely, I'm sure. I know he's not home yet, but we're just glad that you made it through, and hope you enjoy your weekend off and your week off. And and then the 17th will be our team AWN's favorite thing. So,
ooh, I can't wait.
Busy month, exciting month, but a kind of relaxed and fun month too, being that it is the season.
Yeah, and then so we have a show on December 17th. That's kind of our end of the season, and then we take 2 weeks off. So you guys are just going to have to. You know, most of our listeners take 2 weeks off, too. You know, let's not lie. Because
just listen to the podcast.
And that's kind of why we did it, because we realized, okay, like, you know, we all want time off, and they're really not listening right now anyway, because
they're
with their family. So we take a couple weeks off there, that's really the only time we're ever off. One time we took 4th of July off.
Right, because it was right on Monday, I think.
Yeah, it was on. But otherwise, we're here all the rest of the time.
We are.
And we're at 400, so you've got all kinds of archives to listen to.
Right. And with 45,000 fans over at Facebook, there's plenty of people to catch up with in the middle of the night, even if our core team isn't there.
Yeah,
so
we'll be there.
Sure
I'll be on Facebook
us.
Probably. But I'm just glad I don't have to, you know, I can have a couple weeks to run around and not have to worry about what to do when I'm at home trying to do all the show and everything. So it's kind of nice. But if you miss our voices, you can listen to the 396 other shows that we'll have for you guys.
And you can listen to them all as many times as you want.
Uh-huh.
And you can find those over at our main site, Army Wife Network. It's under podcast, and there's show archives. It's really easy to find, actually. Or, of course, blogtalkradio.com/AWTR. So we're still online, still, you know, having a good time, but also working as well. So
yes, very accessible. All right, guys, well, that is Interactive Empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives, and this is Army Wives Talk Radio's Crooks and Henderson. I'm going to say Merry Christmas, but I guess I get to say it again on the 17th. But you guys have a great week next week, and I'll see you on the 17th. Star and Paula will be right back here next week, same time, same place. See you then.
See you next week.
The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. Army Wife Talk Radio is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services, and inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DOD, any local government, or their agencies. Thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week for another informative edition of Army Wife Talk Radio.